I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. My guest today writes this: we must settle the ownership question. God bought each of us at the price, the death of Jesus Christ. He paid our debt of sin. When we commit our lives to Jesus, we commit every aspect of our lives, including our work life. And God is all about work. He created the entire world. He gave Adam and Eve a world to steward. He gave each of us a unique DNA, giving us different talents and abilities in order to serve the needs of others. So today, commit not only your personal life to Jesus, but also your work life. He's a great steward of what is His. So become God's manager. Oz Hillman joins me today to walk through this little devotional book, 31 Decrees of Blessing for Your Work Life. And I want to tell you, I love this book. Kevin and I went through every single day for 31 days, and each morning we just couldn't wait to open it back up again, and we left ourselves just each day feeling inspired and encouraged and empowered. I think you'll love it. We got a stack of copies to give away. It's just a beautiful little devo with short readings and then these faith-filled decrees at the end of each chapter. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Oz. My dear colleague and friend Carmen LeBurge is hosting a live stream event this Sunday night on the power of kindness. And as we love to do for these live events, we're giving away some fun gifts that will inspire you. So be watching our website toward the end of the week. That link will be up there probably this weekend, 7 o'clock Sunday night. Mark your calendar. You'll be able to watch it live and interact and post questions and comments. It's going to be great. All right. That's this Sunday night, 7 p.m. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Oz Hillman is an internationally recognized speaker, author, and consultant on the subject of faith in the workplace. He's written 20 books on faith and work-related subjects. He's been featured on CNBC, NBC, New York Times, Associated Press, and many other national media news outlets. He's the founder and president of Marketplace Leaders. It's an organization designed to equip men and women to live out their calling in and through the marketplace. And what I love about that, I said it before the show, is that majority of Christians are actually in the marketplace, not always serving on staff in a church. Oz is married to Pamela, and they live in North Atlanta. Welcome back to the show, Oz. Good to talk with you.
Susie, good to be with you again, and it's exciting to see what God's doing in this day.
Indeed it is. What a powerful time to be a believer. Well, we love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a passage you've just been pondering these days.
Well, there is, and it is somewhat related to the book in a few, really about 18 months is sort of one of these verses that stuck with me. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. That's Job 22:28. And a follow-up would be, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. That's Psalm 148:5. And, you know, this is what led me to end up writing this book about the relevance of making verbal, audible decrees based on Scripture and our circumstances.
Well, I love this from your introduction. You said it's important to note that when we say we are to decree a thing, it does not mean that God is a genie who would respond to every word we might decree. It must be combined with faith and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The church has been guilty of a name it, claim it heresy in the past. That's not biblical. Man, Oz, I so appreciated that. So maybe make the distinction for us of what, how that's been taken to an extreme to make God a means to an end, and what it means to have solid biblical ground on which to stand when we decree a thing.
Well, sure. You know, in the Bible, we see examples where God spoke. And, you know, of course, he spoke the worlds into existence in Genesis 1. It is several verses there that began, and God said, and God said, and God said, you know, and the heavens and the earth and the waters and all were established by his word. And then when we look in the the Bible, we see where God, encouraged people to speak to a situation that they needed a breakthrough for. That didn't happen every time, but there were times where he did tell people to do things. Like he told Moses, instead of strike the rock, I want you to speak to the rock. God told Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones. And, he told Joshua to walk around the walls 7 times and then shout at them, and then Jesus spoke to the fig tree and cursed the fig tree. So there were times where the audible word was used to cause a breakthrough in that particular situation.
That's so powerful. Before we dig into the content, I'm actually going to read a few of the decrees from the book. But Oz, I would love a little backstory just on your faith and marketplace ministry journey and maybe some of the key moments that really God showed himself strong on your behalf, or, some of those landmark moments in your journey that you go, these were trajectory changers or heart changers, or they marked me in some way.
Yeah, there were absolutely several of those. And in 1994, I went through a major crisis that lasted 7 years. I lost my wealth. My wife left me. I lost 80% of my business, and that was all within a three-month period that ushered me into a seven-year season. It was during that seven-year season that God would show up and reveal many things to me. And 2 years into that, I met a man from Sweden who spoke into my life. He was the founder of the International Christian Chamber of Commerce, and I had received an audio tape by him. And on the tape, it said God was raising up Josephs all over the world, and it's often signified by them going through extraordinary adversity in their business and personal life. Well, he got my attention, and I found that he was going to be in Washington in 2 months. I flew there. He was so gracious to meet with me, and he heard my story and said, "Oz, you have a Joseph calling on your life. It's a marketplace call, and here is where you are, and here's the next phase of that journey, and here's the next phase if you press into the Lord." And everything he said came true, and little would I know, God would take me to 26 countries, and this is my 21st book, and I barely got out of English class in high school, so God doesn't see.
I love it. I love it so much. And I want to be more like that guy from Sweden. I really, really want to be able to have such discernment, such faith, such a gift of encouragement that I can speak prophetically to people to say, you're in the mess, you're in the midst of betrayal, but this is what I see. I mean, what a gift he gave to you, you know?
Yeah, he became my spiritual father that day. He's now 84 years old, still in my life. He lives in Sweden. We talk every few weeks, and just a real blessing.
Boy, that's amazing. Any other markers in you look back over your shoulder where you learned something new about God?
Oh, gosh, I had so many of them because, God allowed me to experience so many different people and circumstances, and I feel like I'm a diplomat to the kingdom of God because I've been able to experience so many different streams in the body of Christ. And I had one situation where I was about 3 years into my journey, and Gunnar had asked me to come to the island of Cyprus for a marketplace conference. And so, of course, I had not had my breakthrough yet. And I did have a breakthrough 7 years later where I got restored to all my finances in one big windfall of money. And so it was 7 years to the month. But while I was in Cyprus, God allowed me to go there supernaturally. Some businessmen said, "Have you heard about this conference?" And I said, "Well, as of yesterday, I do know about it. Gunnar had just invited me," and said, "Well, I didn't have the money to go." And he said, "Well, we thought we'd take you there and support you to go there. Would you go if we would send you there?" And I said, "Sure." And so I get there, and a guy comes up to me after I share a devotional, nothing about my life. He says, "The Lord wants you to know he had to remove the finances to reserve the reward he has for you in heaven." And I said, really? And so I would have these little divine appointments along the way. And often they were in the middle of those 7 years, but God was just saying, I'm not ready to remove you out of the pit yet, but I am here to say that I'm with you in it.
And I have a plan on the other side. And, you know, as we're going to break here, I just want to say, friends listening today, this is just one of our deep prayers behind the scenes, that as we pray and prepare for these shows, that you would hear the right word at the right time in your situation. And God is not finished with you yet. No matter what valley you're walking through, there's purpose, there's purpose, there's purpose. Don't doubt it for a second. God wastes nothing of your life. When we come back, Oz Hellman is going to read a little. I'm going to read, actually, from his book, 31 Decrees of Blessing for Your Work Life. Even if you don't work outside the home, you work. And there's something so powerful about reading some of these faith stories and just praying these biblical declarations. So we'll hear about a guy named Stanley Tam, and I'll read some declarations. We'll be back in a minute. Tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Oz Hellman. He's written an incredible little devotional, 31 Decrees of Blessing for Your Work Life. And if you just tuned in, you missed Oz's qualifier, that this isn't a name it, claim it, like we dictate to God. He dictates to us. But there's biblical foundation for standing on the Word of God. And there's something powerful in Scripture. We see it over and over again. Speak it. Speak to that mountain, you know? And God told Moses, speak to that rock. When your faith comes from hearing, and when you're ears hear your mouth say, my God is with me and he will not fail me. I'm telling you, there's something so different about saying it out loud than there is. Praying it privately is great. Saying it out loud, I think it's even better. So in the I think it's day one, you write about Stanley Tam. And each of these devos have these really just faith-inspiring stories before we read our decrees. But tell us about Stanley.
Well, Stanley is one of the early pioneers of what we would call the Faith at Work movement. Back in the 50s, he got saved and he started sharing the gospel overseas. And he came back and he had a plastics business. And the Lord led him to give his business to the Lord legally. He actually drew it up in a contract. And so profits go to the gospel. And he has given millions of dollars to furthering the gospel all over the world through his plastics business. He has a big business, and he has a big sign on the side of his business on a major interstate that basically has a scripture verse there. And he's probably close to late 80s by now, but he is still, you know, working that plastics business and still, you know, going strong. So he's a great testimony. And so in our decrees, we decree that our work, you know, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do unto the Lord. It's the Lord Christ you are serving, and therein is your inheritance. So all of our decrees are based on a scripture verse, and there's 10 per day that we cite out loud based on those scripture verses.
And this is a little excerpt from Speak the Glory of God. This is Stanley's story. And you write, the business Stanley built, in which he does not own a single share, listen to this, has generated over $140 million towards building God's kingdom on earth. A humble man, Dr. Tam, sees the act of legally turning his business over to God as merely a way to demonstrate his gratitude and obedience. So here are the decrees. And tell me that your heart doesn't fill with faith as you hear these. I decree that my work is worship to God and done for the glory of God. If I work my land, I will have plenty of bread. But if I follow worthless pursuits, I will lack sense. I decree that slothfulness will cast me into a deep sleep. And if I become an idle person, then I'll suffer hunger. I will do neither. I decree in all my toil there's profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I will have profit from my toil. I decree that whatever I put my hand to, I'll do with all my might to ensure success. These are all right out of Scripture. I decree if I'm not willing to work, I'll not eat and will not walk in idleness. I decree that the favor of the Lord shall be upon me. The Lord will establish the work of my hands. I decree that I will trust the Lord with all my heart, not lean on my own understanding. I will acknowledge God in all my ways so that he may make my path straight. I decree that when I commit my work to the Lord, My plans will be established. And I decree that I will not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. I trust God is my provider. We got a stack of copies of this little Devo. If you just need a fresh start in your morning devotional time and you want to just speak and pray blessings over your work life, I think you'll love it. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And the prayer at the end of this one says, Father, I thank you for saving me. I receive Jesus as Lord of my life and my work. I desire to manifest your presence in all that I do. May you be glorified through the work of my hands so that I might receive my inheritance from the work you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Love that. You know, one of the lines that shows up again and again in your daily decrees that always made me smile is this one. I will trust God to give me witty inventions. I love that. Say more about that.
Well, you know, if my mentor, Gunnar Olson, said one time, he must have said it 100 times, he said, how are you going to manifest God's presence in the area of your calling in work? And so he was always wanting me to experience the power of God in what I did, that it wasn't just enough to just use my natural gifts, but how am I going to see the power of God released in what I do through witty inventions, through giving me strategies, through problem solving, through just favor with clients, to, you know, it's a two-way street. It's an intimate relationship with God through our working life.
And it's interesting, you know, when you think about it, that he's the creator. He's the one who spoke the galaxies into being. He's the creator, and his spirit is alive in us. And so many people have said, we really, as his people, should be some of the most creative people on the earth. And I think, you know, the spirit reveals to the things to us that are freely given us by God. I think so often we have such a self-limiting and a God-limiting belief, Oz, that we don't even expect that he might bring a creative solution.
Well, that's right. You know, one of the stories in the books is about my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time. We'd been married 5.5 years, and she had 5 dogs, and she had a, you know, we were trying to find a house she could live in before we were married. And so we found this house, and we, you know, we were amazed that we found it. But then I called the agent, and he says, I'm sorry, but someone's already got a contract on it, and it's an Apple guy, and his money's good, and that's usually the problem, and so you'll have to find another house. And I told Pamela that, and she says, no, that's my house. And I said, honey, I just told you what he said. He says, no, that's our house. We'll go out to it right now, and we'll pray over it. And so we went out to the house, and we walked around the house, and we did kind of what Joshua did, and we said, in the name of Jesus, we cancel the contract on this house, because this is our house. And so I, you know, I had to repent of my lack of faith, but 2 hours later, we get this phone call from the agent. Says, I have no idea what happened to this house contract. It was supposed to be good, but it's now not good, so I guess you can have it, you know? So I had to repent to my wife.
It's good when husbands listen to their wives. I'm just saying. But you write this. Do you have a problem that's perplexing you? Do you see no way of meeting your need? God may have already given you the skills and talents to meet the need. However, he may be waiting for you to mix them with faith. Ask God to show you the steps necessary to solve your problems, and then be willing to take the next step. I've got a number of friends who are doctors and who really, especially with the needs before us in this, you know, global pandemic, different doctors who've said to me that, you know, they've got their training, but then they've got God, and they just ask him for creative solutions and divine insights. Mm-hmm. And over again, you know, he'll just help them remember something or just kind of connect with somebody or read an article, and it will just kind of stir something. And they're just like, they can't even imagine doing what they do without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, it doesn't need to be any different for us, does it?
No, not at all. And, you know, Luke 17:6 says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it would obey you. And so God tells his people, and he told the disciples before he left, that he was going to give us the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth would be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I like to say this is a tool for your toolbox, you know, your Christian faith in your marketplace call that maybe you haven't thought about. Maybe you haven't thought about speaking the word of God or speaking to a situation, but it's there in the scripture, and so we should appropriate it where it's appropriate in our life.
Yeah, talk about, if you would, just the power of praying for your employer, praying for your coworkers. You even got a devo in there to pray for the marriages represented and the families represented within the company that you work for.
Well, absolutely. You know, one of them talks about blessing the families that are represented. If we're an employer, then we have great influence in those companies. And so to be able to bless them, you know, the Bible says that there's great power in our words, you know, to either bless or curse. And we need to realize that there, so much can be done with a positive and a powerful blessing over people, whether it be our vendors, our employees, just those that we rub shoulders with every day. God gives us the ability to, you know, speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, it says in Proverbs 18:21.
Well, we just got about a minute and a half to our break at the bottom of the hour, but can you think of a testimony you've heard from people you've ministered to as they started to really apply these principles where they, you know, developed an expectancy that God cares about the work of their hands? I'm going to pray for my coworkers. Have you heard testimonies of just people seeing things changed?
I have. I have people write me all the time with stories and examples of things that have happened, and many of them say, I'd never thought about speaking to that problem. And so they'll share with me a testimony here or there, and it's amazing that God, you know, his word does not return to a void. And so we need to get practical with our faith when it comes to the word of God and living it out with our work. And that's where we see the power of God manifested. And, you know, Paul said it's not by wise preaching, but it's by the power of God working through me that impacts others.
I've said this before on the show, and I'll probably share it again someday. My dear hubby used to be a workaholic, and he was with a company that was running him ragged and just burning him up. He ended up with a cancer diagnosis, and I was on my face 3-5 times a day, and that's not an exaggeration. Based on 1 John 5:14-15, and it says, and this is the confidence that we have before him. Anything we ask according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have that which we've asked. I knew it was God's will that he be in a situation that was more accommodating to his faith and his family. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be here the next day. And in due time, God opened a door, and the company he's been with now for 25 years, it changed our lives because it was a more family-oriented company. I mean, don't give up hope. Remember the promises of God. More with Oz Hillman in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Marketplace Minister Oz Hillman, who's written a new devotional, 31 Decrees of Blessing for Your Work Life. And they're the decrees, again, just to clarify, this is not name it, claim it. This is about declaring a biblical decree over something. That's a totally different thing. And one of the devos titled Speak Words of Life, Oz writes, the Bible speaks a great deal about the power of our words. When you speak positive words to your children, they'll produce positive effects on them. However, if you shame those around you, tell people they're no good or will never amount to anything, that too will have an effect on them. Many adults can remember times in their life when their parents spoke negative words to them. So what if we did it differently? And especially think about people in your workplace. So here are a few examples of decrees from that chapter. I decree that my tongue has the power of life and death, and I will eat the fruit of my words, which will give life, not death. I decree that my mouth speaks what my heart is full of. So I choose life and blessing. I will speak only wholesome words that build up according to the needs that exist. I will speak words that give life instead of empty words that will be judged. I will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become anger. I decree that I will be a person who finds joy in giving an afterply that's a timely word. And it goes on and on. We've got a handful of copies of this little devotional. So powerful. I just love it. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. If you've got questions, comments, send those in a separate text. I always love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. So, Oz, when I was reading with Keb, and I had to do a double take because I make sure it was you still writing. This was your story. But you actually wrote about your wife's backstory. Do you mind sharing some of her backstory?
Sure. I had been single for over 7 years, and she'd been single for 15 years. And I met her at a preview of a movie called Captive. And when the producer of that was a Hollywood producer who was on my advisory board, and he asked me to go down and share a few minutes before the preview. And so I walked in, and I met her there through a friend. And the way she introduced her was, "This is Pamela. And by the way, since you have some knowledge of the movie industry, perhaps you'd like to see this contract that was just presented to her on her life." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, what is it that is about your life that would require a movie?" And she says, "It's complicated." And I said, "Well, I'd love to hear about it." And so she began to tell me about how she was sexually abused as a child. It went into her adult years through another person that held her to gunpoint in her life. And all through her adult years, it led her into prostitution. It led her into a 30-year cocaine addiction. And but she was in and out of jail. And but she went to prison for 18 months, and it was there that she got final freedom. And God did a deep, deep work in her life and started a prison ministry that's going gangbusters today. And she is quite a testimony of a redemptive life.
Did you ever think in a million years, as you were standing there at this movie premiere hearing this unbelievable story, that woman's going to be my wife? I mean, did it enter your mind?
No, in fact, I said, "I need to run from this woman as fast as I can."
I got to know. So when did the spark fly? I got to know.
Well, I tell you, after we had lunch, and I heard her story, and then I was wrestling with it. And then the Lord says to me, "What makes your sin any better?" You know, and I said, "Well, you got a point there. You know, we're all sinners, and just some of us have been dealt, you know, certain situations that we can't appreciate." But it was a tough, tough deal. But God's grace got her through it, and she is quite the testimony now. She recently had a 7-minute video of her story done by the 700 Club that was very powerful. Just did that in October.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So Oz shares her story in his book, 31 Decrees of Blessing. I loved also that you wrote about William Wilberforce, one of my favorites, and you say that he is one of the greatest leadership stories of all time. Say more.
Well, it is. I just loved the story of him. And, you know, he was born into wealth, and he got saved at 28 years old. And he thought, well, if I love God this much, I must be supposed to be a pastor. And so the man who wrote Amazing Grace, John Newton, became his mentor. And he got in his face and said, "No, you are called to politics. Don't you dare become a pastor." And so he stayed in politics. And he ended up walking with 17 other individuals called the Clapham Group. And together, they abolished slavery after 30 years of work and accomplished 69 other world-changing initiatives because they walked together. They used their time, talent, and treasure to leverage for influence in cultural and social ills of their day. And so it's a very inspiring story.
And if you want to see a movie on his life, you've got to watch Amazing Grace. I watch it once a year just because it's so powerful, so convicting, and it's such a fresh reminder of the evils of slavery. So I highly recommend that movie. And William Wilberforce is definitely one of our heroes of the faith. And you're right, Jesus spoke often of the power of working together as a unified force. He said the key to more people believing in him as the Messiah was his body working together in a unified way. Similarly, moving in a unified effort in the workplace will produce incredible results. I like, Oz, that you travel across denominational lines. I'm kind of a denominational mutt myself, and I have just a deep I have a deep conviction to walk in unity. I purpose even on this show to cross denominational lines because there's so much division that, you know, is divisive at times and self-righteous at times. And so I constantly am trying to bash down those walls because we're going to be in heaven together, you know, these different friends from different streams. And but I would love for you, just before you speak to, you know, unified in, as a force in the workplace, talk about just the power. I mean, Jesus prayed that we would be one before he went to the cross. I mean, just speak to that, given the state of the church right now.
Well, I think so. You know, I had a mentor once said to me, he talked about the fact that, you know, the only thing that we need to understand is that Jesus and the cross, everything else is negotiable. And so we just need to understand that God has called us to be unified to in order that the people might see him. I mean, that's what John 17:23 says. As you are unified, it's like a switch comes on. As the body of Christ is unified, it allows the world to have faith in Jesus. Isn't that interesting that it's a conditional situation there? And so I have always thought of that, and John 17 has been a verse that stuck with me almost since beginning a Christian when I was 22 years old. And I just see the power of that, and we've had so many wonderful opportunities to collaborate with different groups of people, leaders from different streams, and it's very powerful when that happens.
Yeah, there's just you have different people from different streams, and there's a humility and a mutual respect and honor, not trying to fix each other, just walking intimately with each other. There is, that is where he commands a blessing. It's just so powerful. Another thing, Oz, that intrigues me so much, and I know you see a lot of this being a marketplace minister, consultant, is just the difference between good leadership and bad leadership. You know, when you see an organization or community thrive, because that leader is a servant leader and thinking so much about the people that he or she leads versus someone who maybe has an unresolved father wound, is striving out of fear, micromanaging and control. It just, you know, the good people don't end up staying for very long. I mean, speak to that if you would.
Well, you know, I love that just looking at the model of leadership, Jesus model for us, you know, I often say that Jesus had great authority, but he never reached for the power. You know, he never tried to change the culture himself. He did what the Father said him to, you know, told him to do. And I often say that, you know, fruit and culture change is a fruit, not a goal. You know, so we're not here to change and control culture. We're here to do the will of the Father. And when we do the will of the Father, some amazing things can happen. The fruit of that is, like Wilberforce, things can happen. And one of the things Jesus modeled better than anybody else in his leadership was he was a problem solver. Almost every person Jesus encountered, he solved the problem first in their life. And when he solved the problem in their life, it resulted in influence in the life and influence in that community. And so that's a great lesson for all of us to say, you know, what problem has he put you on earth to solve, and how will God want to use you to solve that problem? Because, you know, culture doesn't care who solves their problem. They just want their problem solved. And if you solve their problem, they're going to give you more opportunity to have influence.
That is such a key point, Oz. If the goal, we think, is to change culture, then it's like the means you know, justifies the end. And it's just not. And I think we've seen that in the last, you know, couple years, year and a half especially. But if the goal is to reflect the life of Christ in us, to bear much fruit, that's what brings the Father glory. Culture will, by virtue, change. And I've heard so many stories of church leaders, and Dr. Tony Evans has said the same thing. When you start ministering to the needs and solve the problems in your society, you will have influence, just exactly as you said. And I think that's the only way we're going to have a voice in these days ahead, because of just the cancel culture and all that's happening. You know, there's no law against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's what Scripture says. So what about if we abide in the vine, become like Christ, and watch God change the world through us?
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Well, we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to tell the story. This is on day 11, about a woman named Pam Rhodes. She served as a chaplain for Billy Graham's rapid response team. This is a miracle story. I think it'll inspire and encourage you. I've got a handful of copies of 31 Decrees of Blessing for Your Work Life. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, comments, send those in a separate text. We'll be back in a minute. Believe that's true. The God of angel armies is always by your side. I'm telling you that my prayer life changed when I was part of it, especially if I'm in a battle. I pray a lot privately, quietly, with my head down or my eyes up, looking out of my window in the morning. But when I'm especially in a battle, I get up and I got to pray out loud, and I speak and pray God's word out loud. And that's what this little book is about, 31 Decrees of Blessing for Your Work Life. Oz Hellman is my guest today. Got a stack of copies of this. So each little Devo reading is an inspirational kind of faith story. And then he offers 10 biblical decrees that are based solely on Scripture. So this is not a name it, claim it book. This is putting your feet on the promises of God and saying it out loud. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Oz, and I know you're in a hotel room and you don't even have your book with you because you're traveling and you're so kind to give us time. So I'm putting you on the spot here. But that one day 11, when Pam Rhodes, again, who served as a chaplain for Billy Graham's rapid response team, I believe they were in Missouri for cleanup after a tornado. Tell us her story.
Well, she was going to pick up her two daughters, and they were traveling, and she thought she was going away from this storm that they had heard about, and turns out she was driving directly into it. Her navigation had her all, you know, turned around, and before she knew it, she saw these two, you know, white fingers out of the sky come down and turn her upside down, and you know, she was in a house. And
no, she was in a van. I'm so sorry. She was in a with her two daughters. Out. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she describes that there was an unexplainable force keeping all three of their heads down, and it saved them from a multitude of debris that punctured the van. And suddenly she says there was peace over her, and they were now in the vortex, and she could hear the Lord telling her, "Your daughters are going to be safe." A split second later, and the winds and rain picked up, and in the blink of an eye, the van was whipped up into the twister, landing on the top of a roof that had been torn off of a building. So you can imagine, I mean, people don't normally come away alive on something like that. So it's a powerful testimony of her, and then we decree about God's protection, and you know, how Psalm 91, and you know, how, you know, the Billy Graham organization talked about that they had heard that she was, you know, trapped, and they had a whole team praying for her that she would get through that storm.
Yeah, and Pam Rhodes is the one who told the story of this woman, and this woman had said a man showed up, just full of peace, and he spoke. Because she'd heard the voice of God, your daughters are going to be okay, you're going to be okay. And then they're sucked up into that tornado. Then when they're stuck, this man of peace shows up and says through the window, you're going to be okay. And they literally got out with just a few scratches, just an absolute miracle. And here are some of the decrees, again, right out of Scripture. I decree that I will fear not, for God is always with me. I decree that I will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I decree that the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, that no weapon fashioned against me will prosper. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I decree God is faithful to protect me from the evil one. I decree that God will never leave me or forsake me. He has made me strong and courageous. Listen to this. I decree that I entrust my business, my work to God, who watches over all that concerns me. I decree that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me, and that the Lord will watch over my coming, going, both now and forevermore. So good. Since I have the book, would you mind if I read a full devo, just so people get a sense of how this is laid out and how it feels?
Sure, yeah.
Don't go anywhere. I mean, you have time to make a sandwich, but I still want you to stay with me, okay? All right. This one is titled, Speak Innovation and New Ideas. And the scripture is Romans 8:19. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. In 1977, Matthew McPherson was like most 19-year-olds in that he was wondering what to do with his life. However, he stood apart from many his age because he sought the answer in prayer. It wasn't enough for Matt to have a plan for the future. He wanted to be sure that he was doing what God wanted him to do. So he prayed for guidance, and God answered. Matt clearly heard the Lord say to him, "I'm going to prosper you in business so that you can be self-sufficient in ministry." This answer excited Matt. He had a generous heart, and the idea of being a businessman who could give to others was perfect for him. His Father in heaven went even further to make Matt's future exciting by guiding him to start a business based on Matt's lifelong love of archery and his skill at making bows. Although he'd been building his own bows since he was a child, mostly because he couldn't afford to buy one, he was still searching for a design that would give him an edge, something that would make his business unique. Again, he heard God's voice telling him, "I know every answer to every problem in the world. If men would only ask me, I'd give them those answers." Obediently, Matt went to his knees and asked the Lord for wisdom. "Lord, direct me in a way that's unique and novel so I can build the best bows in the world, and I will honor you with my life." Not long after that, Matthew received a vision from the Lord for a design for a revolutionary new compound bow. He woke up in the night, saw the design on a piece of paper hanging in front of his face. He laughed at the Lord's sense of humor. "It wasn't just a white sheet of paper, but it was a notebook paper hanging in my face." Matt worked patiently on the project and waited for God's good timing. He sought some investors and started his own archery manufacturing business in 1985. The superior design he'd received through divine inspiration proved to be a quiet, accurate, high-quality bow unlike any on the market. His business took off, and within 5 years, Matthews Inc. grew from a one-man business to an incorporation 500 company and is now the largest manufacturer of archery equipment in the world. Matt McPherson and his wife, Sherry, are living proof that God keeps his promises. Because of their thriving business, which is dedicated to God's honor and glory, the McPhersons have the privilege of living the promise God made to Matt all those years ago, that he would be self-sufficient in ministry. Matt and Sherry travel the world spreading the gospel through their music ministry and their support of missions. They realize this is a joyful way to live, and as time passes, their business and ministry have become the same. Matthew understands that being a Christian businessman means being an example of integrity, creativity, excellence, and love to the business world and beyond. God is the God of creativity and innovation. The problem is many Christians don't believe God is interested in business. Just look at God's world and see how creative and innovative he is. There are millions of ideas. Listen to this. There are millions of ideas yet to be birthed. Our job is to ask and receive what God wants to give to his children. Isn't that awesome? And here are the decrees. I decree that God wants to reveal secret things in hidden places for me so that I might know him, that I will be God's vessel to reveal new ideas and solutions for problems that need to be solved, that I will tap into God's creativity and innovation for new business opportunities, that God will reveal secrets to me of things yet to come, that God's promises to reveal mysteries to me as his child, that I shall receive downloads from God in night visions and dreams, that I'll receive mysteries from the darkness and bring the things in the deep darkness into the light, that God will reveal the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he's purposed in himself, that God has granted me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and that God will reveal to me the things I do not know so that I can do great and mighty things. And here's the activation. Sometimes an idea that comes from God seems like it arrives by accident. Such was the case for the inventor of the Post-it note. In the 1970s, Arthur Fry worked at a 3M factory during the week and sang in the choir at his church on Sundays. Like many choir members at the time, he struggled with paper bookmarks that would slip out of the hymnals, losing his place. In 1974, Spencer Silver, a fellow researcher at the 3M company, was working on an adhesive that would stick to surfaces temporarily and not damage them. The company wasn't sure what to do with this invention, but Fry had an idea. He experimented with the formula and finally came up with a bookmark design that had a light adhesive on one end and allowed the other end of the paper to extend from the book. The Post-it note was born. Management at 3M wasn't sure how to promote this little notes, but within a few years, the product became one of the most popular stationery items on the market. Post-it notes are now available in dozens of shapes, sizes, and colors and are sold in over 100 countries. What idea does God want to birth through you? Today, open your mind to new ideas and new inventions that God might want to give you through dreams, visions, thoughts, prayers. Begin to prepare your mind to receive from God by making these decrees today. I mean, you wrote this, but isn't that inspiring when you hear the story?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I love that story of the Post-it notes. It's just so God, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many stories like that. George Washington Carver with the peanut, you know, needed give me insight. What can I do with this peanut? And you should read that story. It's pretty powerful. But do you have any favorites in the book that you'd love to share?
Well, my favorite that really was kind of the very first time I'd ever heard of speaking to a problem was from my mentor, Gunnar Olson. He owned a plastics business that made these huge plastic bags that fit over bales of hay during harvest season. You've seen these round bales out in the fields, but he made the plastic bags for these, and they're huge bags. And so they had 1,000 pallets ready to ship, and he was getting ready to ship these things, and the employees did their final inspection, and they went and found that something had happened to the bags. Somehow the plastic had melted into each side so that it was one sheet of plastic. It was no longer a bag. And they invited the inspectors to come and figure out what had happened. And they said, "I'm sorry to tell you that you have just 1,000 pallets of trash. There's something that has happened in the molecular structure of the plastic that has caused it to melt into each other." And so he was devastated. I mean, he heard this news, and this was a Friday. He went home, shared it with his wife and his two young kids, and they had an interesting response. They said, "I don't believe this is from God." And his wife said, "Well, I don't believe this is from God either. If God can turn water into wine, what are plastics?" And Gunnar said, "You know," and all of a sudden I had this sense that I got this verse of scripture that said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain. And so they felt that the Holy Spirit was speaking to them to actually stand against this, even though it already happened. So this was Friday night. They didn't go out to the plant until Sunday night. And he stood outside his plant and he spoke audibly that verse out of Mark 11, and he's, you know, "Speak to that mountain," and he said, "I command all the pallets, all the plastic molecules to migrate back." And he and his family went into the plant, and they laid hands on every pallet and prayed that prayer over all of them, and they went home and just left it in the Lord's hand. The next day, the employees came and they began to inspect the bags and found that the bags were good.
We've got to stop here. And that's an amazing story. You'll have to hear the rest of it in the book. Oz, I know you're traveling. Thank you for giving us your time today. That's a miracle story. We bless you. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you, Susie. God bless you.
You as well. Oz Hillman, his book, 31 Decrees of Blessing. Hope you found some inspiration here today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.